previously on TCEA's EdTech Club.
There's a lot of ways of managing behavior. We need to be careful because if we break this rule, you know, we get this consequence.
I was a big book it kid.
That same proclivity to, I want to achieve or conquer this, or I want to get to the next level, it really can play into the teacher's benefit.
And now, the conclusion. In our previous episode of the EdTech Club, we sat down with TCEA Director of Professional Development, Dr. Bruce Ellis, to talk about some of the ways you can get classroom management buy-in from your students early in the school year and some of the tech tools we can use to those ends. But at the end of the conversation, we started to talk about this notion of gamification, which is, well, it's kind of what it sounds like. It's turning the processes of managing a classroom, of structuring a class or a course or a unit around a game. Now, this isn't exactly a new thing in education, but the way it's being done now with apps, with badges, with different tech tools might allow us to do it in new ways. So, this week we're sitting back down with Dr. Bruce Ellis, and we're going to talk through some of the ways you can use gamification in your classroom. Of course, he's going to point to some technologies that might be most useful for you. And as a special treat, he's going to give you your homework assignment this week. So, all that and more is coming up, and it all starts right now. And so when we look at gamification, this is something I think I've read about in so many other aspects of society. And we're talking about things like badges, rewards in different apps. We were speaking about this just the other day, and I mentioned how I use the Audible app to listen to books when I'm commuting. And I opened some part of the settings or something and realized I had been collecting all these badges. I remember like a decade ago, there were all these apps like Swarm or something like that, where you would check in at a location and become the mayor or something like that. These are the kinds of things we're talking about, right?
Correct. Even for my CPAP that I use when I go to sleep at night, every couple of weeks I'll get an email that says, hey, you earned a silver badge. And I'm going like, all I did was sleep. But I use my device because it helps me. But for those that really find that it adds a layer of motivation, badging, you know, that type of reinforcement really does help. And gamification kind of plays into that as one of the elements.
Yeah, it seems like it provides a lot of like short-term goals. And it seems like there's a some kind of positive reinforcement mechanism that happens if you, as you keep going, you keep earning.
Correct.
So there's kind of this sense of getting rewarded the same way you would for playing a game well.
Yeah. In the classroom, we would use the word scaffolding. You know, we're going to lay out the instruction so that based on your ability level, you're going to be able to succeed. You may need some support, but we're going to structure the learning so that you can master it, and then you can move on to more complex, same way in gamification. Main thing is that the teacher wants to start not with what does the end look like? You know, what do I want the badges to look like? Which that may be kind of an exciting thing, especially if the room is all decorated and they're one of these teachers that everything coordinates. But really it's starting back with the content, and can the teacher take a look at the content and start chunking it, putting it in smaller pieces in such a way that the teacher feels confident that, okay, I could deliver this instruction to kids, whether that's PDF, YouTube, direct instruction, small group instruction, however it takes place, and that students could interact with it enough, I could give them some resources, that they would be able to achieve what I need them to achieve. A lot of times it means that the teacher is going to be doing possibly more work up front, but I think the teacher definitely will find that it pays off. Student motivation, student participation is going to go up drastically. If the teacher has problems with absenteeism, tardies, those typically go down anytime you get students more engaged. So definitely is a win-win for more than just your classroom. It definitely helps school stats.
And I'm thinking, you know, regardless of what you're using to sort of gamify your classroom, I mean, theoretically you could come up with a system on your own, right?
Yeah.
It still has to be an additive process, right? It can't be kind of like you get a badge for this, you get a badge for that, you get a reward for this or a sticker for that, that aren't necessarily related. There has to be kind of progressively tied to learning goals.
Correct. And you don't want to make it so that it's too easy for kids to get badges, because then the badges don't mean much or the rewards don't mean much. Some of the rewards also, you need to think, how can I have kids work together so that they cannot achieve this on their own, but they're going to have to work with other students. So they're going to have to learn to collaborate or get along with other students to achieve a bigger goal. And in that, once they achieve the badge, they would all earn that reward. And then it may be that doing something like as simple as menu boards or choice boards, where here are the possibilities for this level or stage or mission. These are the different quests, you know, depending on what type of game you're wanting to kind of model the vocabulary after. They can choose how many quests that they want, knowing that in order to get out of this stage or to the next level, they've got to have 10 points, 10 coins, 10 jewels, you know. They've got to achieve the magic sword or whatever it is. So they can choose a couple of easier quests, but they can't avoid the more complex ones just because you've set it up like that. Game designers know the same thing. They know that if the game gets too easy, you're going to walk away from it. So they try to find that balance of, how do I make it just enough stressful for you that you're learning and you're engaged, but not so much that you throw up your hands and say, I can't do this. This is way beyond me. I'm going to give up. Same thing that we want to do in the classroom. We want to model those same psychological tactics, for lack of a better term, and really play off of that to say, okay, how can I structure my content in such a way, knowing that sometimes I'm going to have my kids get in their own groups, their own teams, their own units, whatever, you know, going back to that game vocabulary. Those may be assigned at different times, and those may be self kind of organic at times where kids are coming together. And knowing that there are times where you can put kids in groups, it does let you help students help other students. So if you see that one student has a really strong area, you may make sure that they're in a group with a student who is very weak in that area. So they're hearing and seeing another student maybe modeled some thinking that they wouldn't get if they were in a group completely of their own choosing.
Mm-hmm. So the kinds of tools, strategies, instructional methods, and goals that you have through any kind of teaching in the classroom, you can integrate into that game process a little bit. Make it a
Correct.
Part of the game, make it a part of the rule set, make it a part of you know, the win condition.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading a blog a while back, and it said, you know, we've done gamification forever in education. That being, we had kids earn grades, and they had to get so many grades to get out of the grade level. And then once they got, you know, out of the school, those at the top of the leaderboard we called valedictorian, salutatorian, and things like that. So there has been a sense of gamification in a sense. It may not be very motivating. And
right.
So it's really just now taking a look and saying, okay, how do we really take video game design and just use that to our benefit?
So when we look at what's out there in terms of what educators can take into the classroom, what do we see?
ClassCraft seems to be probably they're like the premier ones. Gamification came into the dictionary in 2011 as a word. So it hasn't really been that long, and yet it's been 9 years, you know, and yet not many people are doing gamification. Not many people are doing it well. ClassCraft, they figured it out. Now, it's not a free system, but it may be something where somebody wants to jump in and take a look and see how did they organize it, design it. I can't start like this, or I can't maintain this level, but maybe I can mimic it on a smaller budget just within my own classroom. And then once my class, once my instruction and everything gets more complex and I've got this all figured out, maybe I'll go to something like that. Teachers may check out ideas that are on Teachers Pay Teachers. They may find, oh, I'm going to buy a unit that is falls within a gamification or gamified. Typically, let me clarify a term here. Gamification is where you're really employing the elements of game-based learning. Gamified typically just means we're inserting one element, but it may stand alone. So it's typical instruction, but now we're doing a relay at the front of the room to the chalkboard. Or we're, you know, teams are collecting points, but it's not a whole system. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about the whole system, that's when we talk about gamification, that's really where that comes into. It's the whole system in play. Teachers don't have to start with the whole system because that may be a little overwhelming. So take a look and see, okay, if I can just start talking about quest and organizing some things as a quest, that may be the beginning. And then maybe moving into, okay, how do I level these? How do I make badges for these? How do I organize it? And then also talking to the kids. They're going to know possibly more about the gaming than the teacher is. So getting their ideas on what games do y'all play? What do you like about those games? How is the game set up? What are some features about the game that really motivate you? What keeps you coming back to the game? What frustrates you? Or when you don't do well in the game, why do you keep coming back to it? One of the things that you might find that that keeps them coming back is that even if they fail, they have a chance to go back and redo it. A lot of times in our education system, we give an end-of-unit exam, time to move on. Well, if we provide that assessment earlier, it may be where we can set it up so that the students don't get enough points, so to speak. They can come back and they can say, I can do better than that, you know, and they can put more work into it and redo it. Mm-hmm. The end goal isn't that we took a snapshot of their first assessment. The end goal really is, did they learn the content? Even if it took them 3 tests or 4 tests or whatever, based on the time, you know, and making sure we get to the end of the unit before the end of the end of the content before the end of the year, sometimes that's a little tricky. But I know I play an app on my phone, and to level up, I can get 2 out of 3 stars. But I'm going like, oh, I don't, you know, I know I can get 3 stars. Sometimes I have to play it 10 times before I can get the 3rd star, and then I move up, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, it may take me a couple of times before I can even get 2 stars, but, you know, for most, and there are some levels I go, yeah, 2 stars is okay for this one, you know. Mm-hmm. But there are other times where I go, no, I want 3 stars, you know. And so I come back and I keep playing, and I may take a break one day and then come back. And so it's really interesting to find out what motivates different people. Mm-hmm. Surveying your kids to find that out is really going to be important. So, mm-hmm.
And as a student, and as all of us, at least former students, you know, you definitely recognize the notion of, oh, well, that unit wasn't very interesting to me and I didn't do very well with it, so I'll take 2 stars
because right.
I got through. But that other unit, or that other book we read, or
yeah.
that other, you know, I thought Reconstruction was really easy, but the Civil War was really hard. I'll take 2 stars on the Civil War, but I'm going to go back and try to get 3 on Reconstruction, that kind of thing.
That's right. We have some blogs. I believe Diana did a blog post on self-reported grades. And this is one where one tactic that you can, or strategy that you can pull into gamification, because there are certain times where students can give themselves grades, especially if you have a well-developed rubric. And so that is a motivation to find out, not just kind of like you were saying, oh, 2 stars is good enough for this one, but, you know, what is the minimum you have to get? And then how do I determine what minimum is? How do I determine what 2 stars is or 3 stars? You know, so that when I say I've earned the badge, there's some clear understanding of what that badge represents. Mm. It's not the let me make you feel good, I'm going to give you a badge. You know, so the badge loses its meaning in essence.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not for participating in the unit.
Correct.
It's for mastering it.
Though you can have a participation badge, you know, that everybody gets. But
well, and it's probably good to start off with a few easy wins, right? Yeah. That gets people invested.
Correct. Correct.
And I think you can also, there's some, when you're thinking of almost like a rule set for a game, you can really play with that. Because if we're looking at this notion of, maybe you could take 2 stars on your unit reviews or whatever assignments, mm-hmm. but maybe you can't just have 2-star passing through everything. Maybe occasionally you'll have to get a few 3 stars and you might have to think a little bit about which units or which activities you enjoy more and try to actually go and get that 3 stars on it.
That's right. Or it might be that for these units, you can get 2 stars, but you're going to have to do this other quest to make up for that third mm-hmm. star or to kind of add to just enough XP points, you know, mm-hmm. to get you beyond. So, you know, the teacher can be very sneaky and design it in a very clever way where the kids are really trying to go after the points. In essence, though, they're really going after the learning, but they see the points adding up, the XP points or whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, you're giving me lots of ideas for the Dungeons & Dragons campaign that I'm running right now.
Oh, that's still around. I did not realize that. It's been around forever.
It's bigger than ever.
Oh, man.
It really is.
Well, and there's lots of things in that, you know, you translate to the classroom, and it's very easy, especially if you're a gamer, even to a small degree. Okay, how can I take this context and move it into my classroom? Mm-hmm. What would that look like? And, you know, and it may be that a teacher says, I don't know that I can do this by myself starting with, so I'm going to partner with another grade level teacher or another content area, and together we're going to, you know, do gamification. And so they're each adding to it, but they're each getting each other's benefit. So it happens the work.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this week's discussion, but don't fret, there are things you can do in the interim between this week and next. First up, don't forget to check out TCEA on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and more. And if you're enjoying the EdTech Club, go ahead and give us a review and a rating on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice. It really does help us out, so if you get the chance, please do. Now, of course, I let you off easy last week. There was no homework assignment, but this week I asked Bruce about what he would assign for homework when it comes to classroom management and gamification.
What I would ask them to do is go to Google or Bing and search gamification in, and then identify whatever their content or grade level is. So if I'm an algebra teacher, I'm going to go search for gamification in algebra. If I'm a third grade teacher, gamification in third grade, or gamification in elementary. Take a look at some resources that some other people have already put out there, some wheels that are already invented that I don't have to maybe create everything from scratch. Get some ideas that they have. Even going to Amazon and taking a look or Google Play Books and just searching for gamification and seeing what comes up. Some super simple books that have already been published out there that will give some teachers a good head start just by, if they've got a weekend to read, do some easy reading and really get some ideas of, oh, that makes sense. I could do that. And that can really be an impetus to, you know, boost their classroom further than if they were just trying to figure it out on their own.
Well, you heard the man. That is your homework assignment between now and next week. Because next week, of course, we'll be back with another episode of the EdTech Club. But between then and now, you can drop us a line at podcast@tcea.org. And if you haven't subscribed, please go ahead and do. But until next week, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being a part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.